Again, thank you for joining us here in our Wednesday night service. We've been working our way through the Gospel of John and the final lessons from the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. And tonight we move to John chapter 15. Let me encourage you tonight, for those of you that know the Lord as your Savior, that are part of FBT, or even those around the world, if you have opportunity to encourage others to tune into our live stream. This coming Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we'll have our live stream service. That will be April the 5th, the Sunday before Easter, and so we will make plans to have a special sermon for those that do not know Christ as their Savior, and we'll be looking at the cross of Christ this coming Sunday, and then the following Sunday, of course, is our Easter Sunday, and as we do on a regular basis here at FBT, we will have a special message related to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it's our habit to celebrate the Lord's resurrection every single Sunday, but we do look forward to the opportunity to be able to have that special emphasis. So if you know folks that do not know the Lord, and you could convince them or encourage them to be tuning into our live stream at 10 a.m. this Sunday, and then again next Sunday, we'll have special emphasis for those that may not know the Lord. And we'd love to see them come to Christ through this difficult crisis in our nation's history. And, of course, to the time frame in which most people are directed towards their religion on Easter Sunday. And so please make plans to encourage others to join in with us 10 a.m. both this Sunday and next Sunday, Easter Sunday. John chapter 15, we want to begin reading in verse number 1 tonight. John chapter 15, verse number 1, a very important passage of Scripture as it relates to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Look at verse number 1 with me tonight. The Bible says in John 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Let's ask the Lord's blessings upon our time this evening in Bible study. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look at this important passage of Scripture as we consider these final lessons from the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this will be a help for each one that's tuning in tonight. I thank you for the time and the energy that's been put forth by so many to not only be listening and watching themselves, but to encourage others as well. So we pray for those that may be in other countries and other continents. We pray if there be one that does not know the Lord, that they would trust Jesus Christ even today. I know that there are so many that are concerned about what tomorrow will hold, and I'm so thankful tonight that we know in Christ who holds our tomorrow. Would you guide and direct me tonight? May this be a blessing to each one that's tuned in. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Through the years of serving as an assistant pastor and then youth pastor, I was given the privilege of working in our children's ministry and overseeing the young people each and every Sunday morning. And one of my favorite parts of working with the children is to be able to participate in some of the great children's church songs that are out there for them to sing each and every week. And what wonderful truths are given in so many of those songs. I'm reminded of the song Deep and Wide. Deep and Wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. I'm reminded of the song the kids love to sing. Hallelu, 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 praise ye the Lord. They'd love to have times of competition and singing songs like that. But then I'm reminded of a wonderful song that we would sing as well, and it's called It directly relates to this matter of Jesus Christ being the vine and us as the branches. We would sing that wonderful song, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. And it's probably not wise for me to strike into that chord tonight and to begin singing that song. But the second verse of that song says, he is the vine, I am the branches. His banner over me is love. And I love singing that song. I love doing the motions with the kids and would love to be active as we think on this truth. And we learn that truth from the song. He is the vine, I am the branches. Wonderful section of scripture tonight for us to consider as believers. The three parts of the vineyard. We have the husbandmen, we have the vine, and we have the branches. If you have your Bibles handy with you tonight, please keep them open to this passage of scripture. We'll do a little bit of traveling and look at some other passages as well, but we want to break down the vineyard into these three different arenas. First of all, notice with me, number one, the husbandmen. The husbandmen. And isn't it wonderful when the Bible gives us its own commentary on what the Bible is saying? The Bible details for us the nature of the vineyard right here in the passage. And Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. God Almighty, God the Father, is the husbandman of the vineyard. Now, when you and I think of the husbandman, we think of that one that is the caretaker or the overseer or the owner of the field or the crop or the harvest. And we ask ourselves, what does the husbandman do to make the vineyard possible? What does the husbandman do to make the vineyard possible? Well, first of all, the Heavenly Father provided the price, the purchase price for the vineyard. John chapter 3, in verse number 16, the Bible says, for God, that's the Father, so loved the world, that's you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. But God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. God is the husbandman, and he has provided the purchase price for the vineyard. I'm so grateful that God the Father, from before the eternity past and the foundations of the world, I'm so glad that the Father made the decision that he would sacrifice his Son for you and for me. But beyond the purchase price, the husbandman also does many other things. The husbandman is responsible for dressing and keeping the vineyard. He plants, he cuts, he prunes, he waters, he nourishes. The Father does all of these things in the vineyard. As that great husbandman in preparing the vineyard for the right harvest, the Father has invested much just as the husbandman invests for the return. But the Bible says we not only see the husbandman, but it also declares to us the nature of the vine. And Jesus Christ says in this message to the disciples, he says in verse 1, I am the vine. I am the true vine. Keep in mind that at this stage, the Lord Jesus Christ is only speaking to the individuals that knew him as their personal Savior. The Bible tells us that Judas Iscariot had left them from the upper room and had gone out from them that he might contract a price on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now as the Lord has left the upper room and is now interacting with the believers, he says to them, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. You know, there are many today that claim to be the true vine, but not one other person can claim this as being true save the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse number 6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We learn in the book of Acts that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the true vine. There have been many down through the ages that have claimed to be the answer. They have claimed to be the vine that we should attach into. But Jesus Christ is, in fact, the true vine. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. It says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. My friend, down through the ages, many have sought to establish their own religions, and they have founded their own man-made concept of religion. And my friend, they are false vines. Anything outside of the true vine of the Lord Jesus Christ is heretical. And anything outside of the book that has been given to us by Almighty God is false doctrine. We can trace all the way back to the Lord Jesus Christ and the foundation that he gave us. And he said upon this rock himself, he would build the church. There are many, many individuals that as offshoots of the Lord Jesus Christ or of that first Bible preaching church traced to the Lord as the chief shepherd and that first called out assembly. There are many people that have gone off of that and created their own religions. They've gone their own way. They've told mankind that they are a vine that can be followed, that can be utilized for satisfaction and blessing. But my friend, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And the only true vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. The Lord warns the disciples about the nature of the end times. It was very well in this same conversation that we have here in John chapter 14. But he says to them there in Matthew 24, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Boy, we have a lot of individuals in the world today that claim to be the equivalent of Almighty God, and they in many cases have founded their own religion. But they are not a true vine. There is one vine, there is one true vine, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the true vine. But not only is he the true vine, the Bible says he is the place of power. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 20, the Bible says, but all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. And so we find in this passage that the Lord says, all power is given to me. Now I want you to go forth in that power. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Again, we are able to work and to labor in the power of Almighty God. It's not in our own strength. It's not in what we can do. In fact, the Bible says here in verse number 5, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And so if I'm going to be useful in the work of the Lord, then I must utilize His power working through my life to accomplish His will for my life. He is the place of power. He is the true vine. He's not only the place of power, but He's the place of sustenance. He's the place of sustenance. I'm reminded of how the Lord Jesus Christ told the crowds and the disciples alike. He said, I am the bread of life. He says to us that we ought to pray daily, give us our daily bread. You know, the Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am what is necessary for the sustaining of life. He says, I am the living water. Remember there in John chapter 4 when he was meeting with a woman at the well, he says that she could continue to come to the well and to receive nourishment that would be a nourishment for the physical. But he says to her, listen, there's a greater nourishment. And he says to her, there is something that would be a well springing up from within. It would not simply be to quench the physical thirst, but it would be there to meet the eternal thirst, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. Jesus says, I am the place of power. He says, I am the place of sustenance. And then number 4, he says, I am the place of full satisfaction. Full satisfaction. Boy, a believer can come to this book and find all that is necessary for life and godliness. We find that listed in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 3. I'm also reminded of what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 11 in verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you have your Bibles open and you want to flip over to this passage in Psalm 1, I think it's so interesting to read the two verses there in Psalm 1 that are directly related to the believer. And there in Psalm 1, Jesus says to the believer, the psalmist says to the believer, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the place of satisfaction for the believer. Planted in the right place, receiving the nourishment from the right one, growing forth and spreading the leaves and spreading the branches. This is the place of nourishment and satisfaction. Tragically, I think many believers, and you might be able to say most believers, do not ever live out the principles of Psalm 1, where the Bible says that they can be planted correctly, they can be blooming correctly, they can be bearing fruit correctly, and they can have all that is necessary for life and godliness. Boy, what a tragedy to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but to not know Him as this one that can provide complete satisfaction and sustenance through the life. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling in my marriage. Then the answer for you is to be planted by the rivers of water. Pastor, I'm struggling in my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm struggling as a dad. I'm struggling as a mom. I'm struggling in these different arenas of life. My friend, would you please go to the Word of God and find rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Find your sustenance in Him, because you too can be planted by that river, and you can be bringing forth the right fruit. Jesus Christ is the true vine. God the Father is the husbandman. He's made the purchase price available for the vineyard. Jesus is the true vine, says to the next grouping that we'll mention tonight, it's the branches. He says to the branches, he says to those disciples, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now look what he says down in verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Ye are the branches. This is mankind. This is all the people. People are the branches. But what do we find about the contrast between the people? We find this contrast amongst the people that are branches. We find, first of all, worthless branches. John chapter 15 and verse number 2, the Bible says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Boy, it's interesting to note that there are many that believe that they're attached to the true vine, and they're not. They're in it for their own religiosity or their own religious mindset. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They claimed to be attached to the vine. But the Bible says that Jesus will say unto them, I never knew you. The Bible also tells us of a parable in Matthew chapter 13. The Bible says a husbandman went out into his field, and he sowed good seed in the field. But in the night hours, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And the next day they realized, or in the coming days they realized that the tares were coming up amongst the wheat. And they said, should we go through and tear out all of the tares or all the bad ones? And they said, no, let's wait till harvest. And at harvest, we'll separate the wheat from the tares. And my friend, that's true also in the judgment of Almighty God. The judgment day of God is around the corner. It is very near. It is sooner than we can even imagine. And in that day, God will separate the wheat from the tares. And those that have claimed to have been attached to the true vine will be known for what they really are. It's very interesting that the Lord would use this kind of imagery amongst the disciples at this time, because we know for a fact that one of the very disciples was this branch that would be cut off and thrown into the fire. For a time, Judas Iscariot looked like everyone else. For a time, he appeared to be just like all the other apostles. Do you remember the occasion where they're around that dinner table? And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ says, one of you is going to betray me. And you know, all the disciples began to look within and say, Lord, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And boy, no one in that group pointed out and said, no, I know for sure it's Judas Iscariot. Even when Judas got up from the midst of the group and was going to go and contract with the chief priest to deny the Lord Jesus Christ or to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, not one of the disciples said, oh, he's going because he's not one of us. They thought he was just going to run an errand for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this truth. For a time, Judas Iscariot looked like everyone else. But no one fools the husbandman. No one fools God the Father. No one fools the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse number 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is devil. One of you is a devil. And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was never deceived by Judas Iscariot. And so we understand from the passage that there are some worthless branches. But the husbandmen will go down in judgment and take those out, and they will be burned in fire. But what about the worthwhile branches? What about those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior? They're attached to the vine, and they're receiving the nourishment. What do we learn about them? The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse number 2, herein And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. There are three things that are said about the believer and worthwhile branches. Number one, they bear fruit. Number two, they have the opportunity to bear more fruit. And number three, they have the opportunity to bear much fruit. I want to speak on this matter of bearing fruit and being a worthwhile branch. A branch that is showing forth the glory of the husbandman. How does the fruit show itself? How does the fruit show itself from my life? Well, take for example, my conversion testimony. In April of 1976, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had heard the plan of salvation in children's church and in Sunday school and in our academy and so forth. I'd heard the nature of the truth. I guess this was before the academy began in 1976, the fall of 76. But as I heard the truth, I went home one Wednesday night and I said to my dad, "Dad, I would like to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior." And so I look back to that time and know for sure that Jesus saved my soul. That is a point in time. Just like physical birth is a point in time, spiritual birth is a point in time. Has there been a point in time where you put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary? That's the matter of salvation. That's the matter of being attached to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and being able to grow in the vine. But not only is it being attached and now being able to grow, but it is the matter of sanctification. And so now that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior and he is my Lord, and I understand the nature of the husbandman and the nature of the vine, and that without him I can do nothing, I want to be a bearer of fruit. Well, how does that happen? Well, number one, we can glorify the husbandman through our lives. We can glorify the husbandman through our lives. One of the themes here at FBT is that of exalting the Lord. I want to do that with my lips, and I want to do that with my life. I pray that I shine forth the light of the glorious God that we serve. I can do that with what I say and how I live. But it's not only glorifying Almighty God or exalting his name, it's also growing to be more like Christ. A number of years ago here at FBT, I believe it was in the fall of 2016 or the beginning of 2017, we went through a great book called Changed Into His Image. It's written by a man by the name of Jim Berg, and it's a wonderful path of the process of sanctification. And in that book, we refer again and again to this theme. Sanctification is the Holy Spirit of God using the Word of God to make the child of God more like the Son of God. And so that's what we're asking is, am I, as a believer, from the time of my salvation, that point in time where I put my faith and trust in Christ, am I becoming more and more like the Son? Is there a change in my life? Is there a change in my ways? Is there a definite difference in the nature of the fruit that I'm bearing? You know, before Christ, it wasn't a surprise to see me show forth the works of the flesh. But after Christ, I should be showing forth the fruits of the Spirit. Do I show forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith? Do I show forth meekness, temperance? In other words, if you're watching my life today, is it different than my life 10 years ago because of my attachment to the vine? Is it different than my life 20 years ago because of my attachment to the vine? The Bible says we can become more and more like Christ. John chapter 14 and verse number 12, Jesus said unto the disciples, he said, greater works than these shall he do. So the Lord says, I did these works, but those that are living and abiding in me can accomplish even greater things. And we have the opportunity to show forth our dear Savior. Well, how do we do that in this matter of growing more and more like Christ? Well, we have to fight sin. We definitely have to flee sin. At times, when we do sin, we need to seek forgiveness for our sin. And above all, we need to be following the Savior. As you think of that growth process of being more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, are you fighting sin? Does sin have any kind of an inroad into your life? You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and he said for us to mortify the flesh. That is to shut off all the flow of gasoline. Everything necessary to propel our flesh is shut off that we might flee sin, that we might have forgiveness, that we might totally follow the Savior. Well, the first thing that I can do in bearing fruit is glorify the Heavenly Father. The second thing that I can do is to grow to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The way I used to dress, I don't dress that way anymore. The way I used to act, I don't act that way anymore. Why? Because I'm attached to the vine, and the vine giving me nourishment is making me more and more like the Son of God. But number three, after we are in this process of being like the vine, we're glorifying God. We are growing more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, and also bearing fruit, we will see our prayers answered. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Bible says in the book of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, I tell you what, it is wonderful to have that clarity in our prayer life with Almighty God. And to go before Him and before His throne boldly, and to have our request answered, and to see Him working, and to be bearing fruit through our time of prayer. Boy, it's wonderful to have that prayer list and to write down those needs and then to see those needs met and to see how God miraculously and most often without our prior knowledge, He is stepping in and meeting the needs beyond anything that we could ask or think. That's bearing fruit. But then there's a fourth thing. It's not only glorifying God, and that should just flow forth from my life and my lips, and growing more to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's seeing prayers answered. And then it's also a fourth thing, and that's people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I, as a believer, have the opportunity to be an ambassador for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have the opportunity to be the proclaimer of his saving grace. Now, he could have surely taken us home when we trusted Christ as our Savior, but he left us here that we might be his ambassadors. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen to this next verse. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Oh, I know we meet in the brick and mortar of our facility most often and with great regularity. And I know we're doing that by electronic means right now. But the truth of the matter is, this stuff is not the church. It is the people. And you, my friend, have the opportunity to go forth and bear the name of Jesus Christ and to be able to proclaim his name to neighbors, friends, family members, associates there in the workplace, co-workers. You have the opportunity to bear the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we can be partakers with the Lord as he develops and furthers his vineyard. One commentator said this by way of closing for us tonight. A good husbandman works the earth. He cultivates his plants and naturally expects them to produce fruit commensurate with the amount of effort he has invested on them. Our Heavenly Father, the divine husbandman, seeks to produce fruit through us as we abide in Christ. My friend, understand from this story, there is nothing wrong with the husbandman. God the Father has provided the purchase price and does everything necessary for your life and mine to bring forth fruit. There's nothing wrong with the husbandman. There's nothing wrong with the vine. Jesus Christ, the complete vine, the true vine, the one that brings total and complete satisfaction and sustainment. There's nothing wrong with the vine. The question is tonight, are you a worthless branch that will be cut off and cast into the fire? Or are you a worthwhile branch that will either bring forth fruit, that would possibly bring forth more fruit, or maybe even bring forth much fruit? Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, the Apostle Paul's talking to the church at Colossae, and he says this to them based upon the great reports that he's hearing about their love, their faith, and their hope. He says, based upon what we've heard, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What is that? It's growth in the vine. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What is that? Here's the explanation, the very next words. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Boy, we have the opportunity to be plugged into the right vine, to be gaining nourishment, to be growing and spreading forth and bearing fruit, much fruit, and even more fruit. Well, let me ask you about your life tonight. Would you say that you're glorifying God with your lips and your life? Would you say tonight that you're more like Christ today than you were the day when you got saved? Would you say tonight that your time in prayer is that of an effectual and fervent prayer? It's the beneficiary prayer of a righteous man. And then would you say tonight, yes, Pastor, I'm doing all I can to plant and water, trusting God to bring the soul and give the increase. Boy, I not only want to bear fruit or even more fruit, but I trust that God, the chief husbandman, the great husbandman, through the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, will do whatever's necessary in my life that I might bear much fruit for his name's sake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us in making it possible for us to bear fruit, to be fruit bearers. And even as the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, that he wanted to see them fruitful unto every good work. I pray that right now for the church family of FBT. I know that we're separated by many miles and we're separated physically right now, but via live stream, we're still able to proclaim the good news of the saving grace of Christ. And I pray that the people of FBT would be just right in line with the true vine, that they would be bearing fruit. You'd help us to bear more fruit and even much fruit. Lord, if there be one tonight that's still in that position of worthlessness, they're in danger of being cut off They're in danger of being separated and cast into the fire. Lord, would you help them to realize tonight that they need Jesus within? I know that in America today and even around the world, we have many professors of Christ. We pray that each one would be true possessors of Christ. Thank you for this time that you've given to us in the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.